You'll understand that. All right. Shalom aleichem to all the people out there in cyberspace and all the people who are here. We apologize to those who were here. But Baruch Hashem, we were zeicha to be participate in all the construction of the rebuilding of Yushalayim, Kenai Nohocha, right, and all the people who Baruch Hashem have cars. So that just took us, we set a new record for how long it took to get here from Har Nof. All right. Once again, we're doing sukkahs. We're doing sukkahs. We'll get back to our law. Here's what I want to do. I have a speech. You're the guinea pigs. Sorry about there, everybody. Rabbi Hochheiser, if this doesn't make any sense, just, okay, don't post it. Right? I have an approach I'd like to give for sukkahs. So you need to hear the whole thing in context. If it's not all fitting in together, because I'm making up a little bit as I go along to get all the pieces to go, so just have patience for me, okay? Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And it all starts with a peladic of vort. I thought it was a great vort, and I want to share it because I was a great vort that I saw on, Rabbi Reisman brought it down from somebody whose name I don't remember, so I'm happy I remember my own name, right? On Unisana Tokev, on a line in Unisana Tokev, and I believe it'll help us understand the connection. Everybody connects, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Zman Simcha Seinu Sukkos. Everybody, you know, draws that flow. I think it'll also give us what I think is a bit of a different take on that connection. The vort as it is a good standalone idea. It knocked me out. In Unisana Tokev, so we describe the judgment. And there's this famous line that everybody passes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ovrim lefanecha, we pass in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivnei maron. That's the Hebrew phrase, kivnei maron. And the Gemara struggles to understand what's that referring to. What exactly does it mean? The context is clearly you're judged one by one. That's the theme. That's clearly what it means. You pass in front of God all by yourself. God judges you all by yourself because God judges everybody subjectively. He's not judging you in connection to somebody else. You're not a question. You're better than me. You are you, right? The other guy is the other guy. You're you. God judges you as you. But what's the term kivnei maron? So the Gemara offers, and I don't have the Gemara in front of me, it brings psukim to prove, offers three suggestions for the translation of kivnei maron. One is sheep, when you count your sheep, so you have them go through a little gate one by one, so it's like sheep, right? Two, it's like the very steep mountain path in the area of Maron. I don't know if it means Maron or Maron. I didn't look it up recently. But it means like a very narrow path. So you got to walk one by one. It's a very steep mountain path. So you tread very slowly, you know, one by one. The third is like the soldiers of David HaMelech. When the soldiers of David HaMelech went out to battle, so they passed by one by one, and each one got there.
Soldiers
of David HaMelech. Chayalot Beit David. David, King David.
Okay.
Right? And when they went to war, they went one by one, and each one got their marching orders. You know, okay, you're going to go there. They march as you're going to. Everybody got their job. Off they went to war. Cute. It's all one by one. So everybody wants to know, you know, it's one by one no matter how you slice it. Why do we care of the imagery? There's obviously some meaning to the imagery. So he brought down such a nice shot. He said there are some people that on Yom Kippur, right, as they go through and they pass judgment about, you know, where they've been going and where they're going, they're not really paying attention. They're like sheep. They go through the motions. They show up. They move on. As soon as they've passed through, they've already forgot about it. They're sheep. They're just followers. They're not taking any personal responsibility. They don't appreciate what's going on. That's very sad. Then there are people who realize the awesomeness of the judgment, but they're so scared. I want to get a good judgment. So they walk very scared, like in front of God, very trembling, very like, I hope I'm going to be okay. I'm on a narrow path. I don't want to fall. And whew, once you make it through the narrow path and the road widens, so then you forget about it. You're not afraid. You keep going. Soldiers, when they pass by one, once they've passed by the general, you know, the boss, the king, they have marching orders. They've now got a job to do. Said, that's really how we want to go through our Yom Kippur, right? We've taken account of, you know, where we're holding, and then we Baruch Hashem, we believe because Baruch Hu's Rachman is going to give us another chance, and we walk out, we now have a job. We now have a mission where we're a soldier. And that's how we're supposed to walk out, confident. We have a new year with a new job. We've set ourselves up. We know what we got to work on, what we got to try and improve on, where we're holding. And we got a job to do. God wakes you up. God puts you on this earth. Every single Jew has something to accomplish. That's really how we're supposed to walk out. And I think the concept of Sukkot and Zman Simchasenu can help with that. What do I mean? There's the world-famous question, the famous Sukkot question. Anybody talks about Sukkot, you never go wrong talking about the famous Sukkot question. Famous Sukkot question is, as we know that there's an argument in the Gemara, what are we celebrating on Sukkot? One opinion is, because the Jews had real booths, physical little booths, and that's what we lived in the desert. And another opinion is, oh, no, they didn't have physical booths. They had the Ananei Kavod, right? The clouds of glory that sheltered them from the sun and all the bad elements. That's what we're celebrating. The problem is, no matter which way you slice it, we had those as soon as we left Egypt, right? We got out of Egypt, the sea split, and then Shazam. We certainly had the clouds of glory protecting us. We had the clouds of glory behind us, protecting us from the Egyptians. Clouds in front of us, you know, smoothing things out, right? So we had the clouds as soon as we left Egypt. Why are we celebrating Sukkot now? Shouldn't we be celebrating Sukkot Pesach time, a week after Pesach, right? We had it starting then for 40 years. You don't want to, you know, crowd the holidays. But like, why punkt now? Like, so you're still crowding the holidays. I don't know. Put Sukkot like, you know, I don't know, some other time when we have more time. Multiple answers given. Multiple bazillion answers given to this famous question. But there's a famous, radical is a bad word to use when you talk about the Vilna Gaon, very famous different answer from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says like this. He says, if you remember your Chumash stories, so fine, we had these Ananei HaKavod. And by the way, interestingly enough, Rabbi Berkowitz actually spoke about this. The Shulchan Aruch, which is a halachic work, not a, you know, philosophy, Kabbalistic, no, it's like, do this, do that. He paskins la halacha. The halacha is that we paskin like the opinion that Sukkot is in remembrance of the Ananei HaKavod of the clouds of glory. So I remember Rabbi Berkowitz, when he spoke, said, like, how's that a halacha? Like, halacha means I'm therefore supposed to do something. He says, that ever means when you sit in your sukkah, the shulchan is saying, you got to think of the clouds of glory. That's what you got to think of. The shulchan has, this is the halacha sukkah represents, that's how we paskin, said the shulchan aruch. We paskin that we're remembering the clouds of glory that we had, that God sheltered us with clouds, blah, da, dum. Obviously, he means that when you sit in your sukkah, that's what you got to think about. He said, that's the halacha. So we paskin like the clouds of glory. Says the Vilna Gaon, if you remember your Chumash story, we're rolling along and we're doing pretty good. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Maaseres HaDibros, God speaks at Mount Sinai, Gevaltig. Moshe Rabbeinu says to everybody, don't go anywhere, I'm going up the mountain, I'll be back soon with the Luchos. And they do Chet HaEgel. Terrible sin. Not going to get into it, whatever. Certainly a bad sin, however we understand it. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, oh my gosh, breaks the Luchos. 3,000 people die. He says, I'm going to go talk to God about this. Let's see what we can do. He's really upset. They lost their clouds of glory then. They lost their clouds of glory. Did the Chet HaEgel? God's ready to destroy them. Clouds of glory disappear. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and he pleads and he comes down on Yom Kippur with the second set of luchos. Salachti kidvarecha. God has now forgiven the Jewish people. He gives them the commandment to go start building a Mishkan, start collecting stuff. Not going to go through all his calculations, but he figures out that, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain on the 10th of Tishrei, Yom Kippur. The next morning he tells everybody, God's forgiven you. We're going to build a Mishkan. And they say, yay. And start collecting gold, silver. They start bringing stuff. They bring stuff for 1-2 days. On Sukkot, they had enough stuff. They didn't bring any more stuff to build the Mishkan. They already had enough. And that's when the clouds of glory came back. You started building your Mishkan. You're back with the program. You get your clouds of glory back. And that's the Anane HaKavod we're celebrating with the holiday of Sukkot. That's why it's now. We are celebrating the fact that we got our clouds of glory back, because even after we horrifically messed up, God forgave us. We started doing what we could to build a Mishkan. Whoever had gold brought gold. Whoever had whatever, right? Everybody bought whatever they had. You get your clouds of glory back. That's what we're celebrating on Sukkot. Famous Vilna Go. Watch. So we're celebrating the clouds of glory that came back after Yom Kippur. And the holiday is called Zman Simchaseinu. Every holiday is a Zman Chirusenu, freedom, Pesach, Zman Matan Torah Shavuos, Zman Simchaseinu. Why specifically Sukkot Zman Simchaseinu? What's the Simcha? So you've already heard my shtick about Simcha. I'm going to do it again for those who haven't heard it. We did it Eicha time. Right? I hold this true. Right? Remember, we do simcha, we don't do happy. Right? The famous issue, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah the prophet, who wrote the book of Eicha, which we read on Tisha B'Av, describing the destruction of the temple. B'chosifke, he's crying, the city is burnt to a crisp, and there's widows and there's orphans. Right? He actually did not write it after the fact. He wrote it as a prophecy. He was given a prophetic vision before the fact, and he dictated it to his student who wrote it down. You can't have prophecy without simcha. Ein hashchina shoga el mitoch simcha. The divine presence does not rest on someone unless they are b'simcha. That's what the Gemara says. Somebody says, b'simcha, Yirmiyahu is crying. He's prophesying how Jerusalem is being burnt to the ground, and there's widows and there's orphans. How can he get a prophecy? Where's the b'simcha? Rabbi Feigenbaum's answer, because we don't do happy. He wasn't happy. We're never happy, or as I always like to say, Jews don't do happy. Happy, I Googled it, to be honest, right? Happy comes from the old something, Flemish or something, from the word hap. Hap means good luck, good fortune, as in happenstance, and haphazard. Happens. Hap means when random stuff happens to happen. That's what happen means. It happens to happen haphazardly, right? And happenstance. So when the stuff that happens to happen to happen happens to be stuff that is good for you, so you're happy because stuff happened. Jews don't do happy because we don't believe anything happens, right? Nothing happens. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God has it all plotted out. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. B'simcha are the same letters as machshava. Jews think. If you think and you believe, it's bitter medicine, but I guess it's the medicine I need. I'm b'simcha. Yirmiyahu realized if the temple needs to get destroyed, then I guess that's the medicine we need for what ails us, unfortunately. And I guess there couldn't be a better tasting one. God would certainly give us a better medicine if there was. So if this is what needs to happen for our good future, unfortunately, so then that's what needs to happen. So he's besimcha. He's in tears. He's in pain. My mushal is, you go to the doctor, you have a terrible thing on your hand, right? And you say, listen, I said, why? Yeah, you're going to lose your hand, man. It's a good thing you came. Yeah, I just paid $1,000 to get this appointment. They use protective. Says, yeah, okay, listen, we're going to stab it and put goop on it, and I'm going to save your hand. It's a good thing you came today. So okay, yeah, go for it. And he stabs your hand, and when he goes, ouch! And it's burning, it's killing me. He says, what are you crying for? I'm saving your hand. But it's killing me. It's killing you. Are you happy? Well, I'm not happy, but I'm besimcha. Because I realize that's the only thing that's going to save my hand. You have a life-saving operation that you spent millions of dollars to get. How do you feel the morning after? Oh, man, I'm sick as a dog. I'm pain. Oh, so you shouldn't have done it. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Best thing that ever happened to me, but at the moment. So you can be, like, in tears, right? You can be suffering pain, right? But you're besimcha because your brain says, this is the best thing for me. This is what has to happen. And what's our greatest doubt? Ein simcha? There's no greater joy. What's the greatest joy? Say Chazal, ein simcha katoras hasfekos. No greater joy than resolving your doubts. That's what Ivdu is Hashem besimcha. If we have no doubts, which is a very high level to reach, of course, but if we have no doubts, it's all for the best, whatever God does, I don't understand it, but I have no doubts, it's all good, so we're besimcha, right? David HaMelech, this is in my Siddur. David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. God said, forget about it. You're not doing it. Your hands are full of blood. It is not your son. It will not happen. His response to that was, say Chazal, he wrote, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. We say it every day in Pesukah de Zimra. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. He wrote a song to be used at the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash that he knew he would not be at. But if that's the way it has to be. So what will I do? I'll do what I can do. I'll write a tillim, a song to sing. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis spells simcha. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis is simcha. Not in order. Because to us it doesn't look simcha. Things don't always look simcha. But David HaMelech didn't look simcha. I want to build a Beis HaMikdash. I'm David HaMelech. Hello? Why can't I build a Beis HaMikdash? You can't, David. Because I'm God and I said you can't. Your son, but you can't. And therefore his response was, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis. Okay, so I'll write the song for the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. I'll do what I can. Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis. It's simcha. It doesn't look simcha, but hey, if that's what God does, okay, I'm simcha. The greatest doubts we have are about ourselves. Who are we really? What value do we really have? I once, when I was still living in Toronto, mail, you get all these brochures and junks. I got some big, fancy, glossy booklet. And the front had a picture of a big, mansion. It says, you are not your house. I said, well, that's the true house, just a house. To open the door, open it up, there's a big, fancy car. It says, you are not your car. And I said, oh, that's right. Well, that's true. That's beautiful. You're right. You're not your car. Car's just a car. Where's this going? Flip it over and you see like a big fancy office. You are not your job. You're right, a job's a job. That's not really who you are, right? So I see it, one more page. Flip the page and there's a picture of these crazy expensive, it says, you are your watch. And it has pictures of watches for like hundreds of thousands, crazy amounts of money. I said, what meshuggener? That's the craziest advertisement I ever saw in my whole life, right? Right, so we don't believe that. You're not your house, nor you're not your watch, and you're not your, so who are you? Watch. Famous Yom Kippur paradox. We act like angels. We wear white. We don't eat food. We say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud like the angels do. We're angels. And while we're wearing white, without eating food, because we are like angels, we say vidui. I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I messed up there, I messed up that, I lost up there, I was such an idiot. I did bad, angel, white angel. So I don't get it. Are you an angel? Are you just like this big mess up that just did 20 things wrong? Answer is, there's who you are, and there's what you do. We said this in the last 2 weeks. Averos are things you do, but they don't really reflect the essence of who you really are. Right? What was the vidui? At the end, we said, Sarnami misotecha mishrotecha tovim. We went away from all your good deeds. Velo shaveh lanu. That does not equal who I am. I'm an angel. Elokeinu shema shenatata bi tohora hi. We say that every day. The neshama that you gave to me, God, is a, you gave me a pure neshama. Like, I'm a bentor, I'm a basel. Right, but let's leave Goyim out, but Goyim also have a neshama 100%. Let's stick with us for the moment. But they have also Gan Eden. Right, Elokeinu shenatata tohora hi. Atavratza, you, atayatzata, atanafachta bi. I'm going to get it back, and that's what I am. What about the fact that you just, you just bit someone's head off, right? How about that, Mr. Hello, anger management problem issue, right? What about the fact that you just did a shady business deal because it was just such a good deal, and I'll give tzedakah aside, that'll make it better, you jerk. Like, what's the matter with you? That's stuff I do, and I got to correct what I do. But it's not me, because if I was a rotten, critical human being, and that's who and what I am, that's what I am, then I'm stuck with it. I'm not. I struggle with it for reasons, whatever. I can work on it. But by essence, man says, "Elokeinu shema shenatata bi." I have a beautiful, wonderful neshama.
That's true.
Right. The Yetzer Hara. Right. But right. So, but that's the whole point. On Yom Kippur, we act like angels to make us realize that don't let your actions define you. Understand at your core, you have a beautiful neshama. And there's the stuff you do, and you got to work on it. I used to tell kids all the time when I used to speak at places where, for teens, and I wanted to get, and we're talking about like Yom Kippur Tshuva, which like many of them were like not so interested in. I used to start by saying, okay, I want you and everybody, I'm going to make this a very personal speech, everybody. I want to tell something. Not everybody knows this about me. Well, I was in Canada, right? So I said, I can never go back to Alberta. I can really, right? I never said, what? You want to know why? I don't know. We'll talk about it later. I'm just telling you I can't ever go back to Alberta. Then by the end, I say, by the way, do you know why I can't go back to Alberta? I say, yeah, why can't you go back to Alberta? Because I was never in Alberta. You can't go back to a place you never were. Tshuva is you're going back to your beautiful neshama. If you never had a good neshama in the first place, there ain't no place to go back to. So if God wants you to go back to me, you got it. It's covered up with junk. You're paying attention to the wrong voice in your head. Then maybe you need help. Maybe you can't do it on your own. God judges you by yourself. He understands. But your core, you're an angel. You're Elokai Neshama Shenasati Bi Tahorahi. That's who and what you are. Ein Simcha Katar Sasfekos. The greatest suffix we have is who and what we are. On Sukkot, we walk into Anane HaKavod. No matter Chet HaEgel, for gosh sakes. Anane HaKavod came back. How did it come back? Bnei Israel realized what they did wrong. And then they started building a Mishkan. They walked out of their Yom Kippur, not so terrified they couldn't move, not like sheep who didn't even realize what just happened. They walked out with a mission. We got to build a Mishkan, man. Well, what can I do? I got gold. What can I do? I got wood, right? What can I do? I'm really good at sewing. What can I do? I'm a strong guy. I can carry stuff. Okay. Everybody donate it. Whatever you got, it's all good. Kesef, gold, silver, copper, carrying, whatever it is. And everybody donated. And a few days later, we had it all. Thanks to the fact that everybody realized, I got a mission. I can accomplish something. Everybody can accomplish something. It doesn't matter what the other. Remember, you're judged by yourself. You're your own mission. You're your own soldier. The other guy donated gold. Good, because he has gold. I don't have a gold, but I'm a strong guy, and I can schlep all the stuff. Man, who's going to schlep it? He ain't going to schlep it, man. Right? Okay. We need schleppers. We need carriers. We need goldsmiths. We need tinsmiths. We need woodmen. We need a bazillion things. It's sewing. It's a heck of a lot of stuff, right, to do. That's Ratzam Zman Simchasenu. Because we resolve the doubt, machshava, simcha, machshava, we resolve the doubt, not the doubts of what God does in this world, we resolve the doubts of who and what we really are. Because we come out of Yom Kippur, not terrified and scared that we just walked on a narrow path and we're glad we don't have to do that again until next year. Made it, I can take life seriously a year from now, right? Right? Get that from kids all the time. I made a rabbi. It's good. I don't got to worry about this for another year. I said, well, no, that, slow down. That's not exactly how it goes. Okay. Right? Young man. Right? He asked, really? I said, yeah. I think you're supposed to take life seriously. We said, take life seriously, like every day. I said, yeah, well, I mean, you know, seriously, and they're seriously, but, you know, like someday, wife, kids, mortgage, you know, like, right? He said, well, that's like a long time from now. I said, yeah, well, good to practice now, you know what I mean? It would help. Like, put your books away and do your homework and get your project in on time. You'll thank me for this someday, right? Personal responsibility, right? We're soldiers. We take responsibility, and we have no doubts who we are. We're angels. We're in Ananya Kavod. Me? No, I don't, I'm like a mess-up man. Like, I remember all the stuff I spoke about to God on Yom Kippur. I had a list like 20 miles long. Hey, you're not as bad as Chet Egel, right? Right, okay. What happened after Chet Egel? Get with the program. Got brought back on Ananya Kavod and gave us Man Simchaseinu. That's you too. And it fits very nicely the Hirsch on Sukkos. Hirsch is a very nice idea. I'll just add a gematria to it because I love gematrias, right? Hirsch says if you watch the Haftorahs on Sukkos, it's a very end of days ishi. Right, Gog Magog, Armageddon, everyone's going to come to Yerushalayim at the end of days, yatta dam, very big, right, Mashiach, Sukkot, big time for that. He says, Gog and Magog, right, so besides like exactly who they are and what countries they are and right, all that, he says the root of Gog Magog is the root Gag, roof. That represents Western society that believes that we have a roof over our head. We got science, we got money, we got technology, we can beat it all. We have a roof. We're Gog, we're Magog, we have roofs, we're solid. We don't need God, we got it all taken care of. And we say, no, we you're a sucker. Your whole life is, gotta do your shot list, right? Gotta eat healthy, gotta find a job, you 100%, your doctors, research. But in the after it's said and done, exactly how secure is your entire world? About as secure as that little, like, flimsy little bamboo stuff on the top of your head, bud. That's what we represent. That's the battle. Rav Dessler says, the final battle in Ikvah Sedeh Mashiach, as we get closer to the Mashiach, will be the battle of Kochi V'Otzem Yadi, that we think we control everything. Rav Dessler writes this. We had the Holocaust, which our problem was we felt very helpless, right? And we were relatively helpless, right? Right? And now God flipped it, right? And now, are you talking about? We got money, we got politicians, they got to take care of us, man. No one's going to mess with the Jews because, you know, we're going to vote on all the, you know, we're important guys, right? We got an army, we got a country. No one's going to push us around. We can take care of ourselves. Hold it. Ishtadlis, Baruch Hashem, but just remember, you know, if God's not, it doesn't have your back, like, you know, it's not going to work. That's our struggle now, where we feel very much, God, we got it all man-made. We got plenty of money. We had, anything you want in the world is kosher. We've eradicated bugs. Tefillin have never been more square than they've been in their whole lives. You can get kosher God knows what where. You can spend Pesach with Mickey Mouse and he'll say the abracashas and you got anything you want. We're good. We got it all taken care of, right? That's our struggle now. You know, the exact opposite of the 39-40s, right? It's interesting that he draws that flip, right? He said, that's the flip, and that's the final, that's the hardest struggle. It's a much harder struggle, he points out, right? And he points to Sukkot, right? Gog, Magog, Gog, Magog, Gog, secure roof, Sukkah, flimsy bamboo, Ananya Kavod, that's what really protects us. I add the famous gematria, Gog, Gimel, 3 plus 3 is 6. Suffolk, doubt, is 240, 2 plus 4 is 6. Amalek is 240, 2 plus 4 is 6. Right? Amalek, the quintessential arch enemy, right? Right? Who sows doubts about God runs the show. What are you talking about, man? I'm a Amalek, man. Like, you know, let's all you what? Go watch. Let's see what your God can do, right? Things, right? That's all number 6. That's God 6. That's a 6-day week without Kedusha. We're 7. We have Shabbos. We eat. on Shabbos, and we drink on Shabbos, wear nice clothing on Shabbos, and we're part of the physical world, but we introduce Kedusha into the world, right? That's the Anane Yakovot, that's the Sukkah. And in the Sukkah, we eat, we live in the Sukkah. We live without, can't live all year, right? Snow, you know, certainly in Canada, right? But the concept of is our homes, as big as they are and as strong as they are and as fancy as they are, in the last analysis, Sach HaKol is Anane Yakovot. Sach HaKol are Sukkahs. But it's the Anane Yakovot that came back because we accepted our mission. As bad as we messed up, we bounced back. Kadosh Baruch Hu accepted us and gave us back our Anane Yakovot. So no matter who and what you thought you were based on all the stuff you spoke about on Yom Kippur to all the people listening out there, and I have no idea who you are, right? You know, if you have a tendency towards, oh, I'm terrible, you're right, and I get these emails, oh, you don't know, I'm such a mess up, but I'm so terrible, I did all these bad things, and I'm a lost cause, and God must hate me, yet to do dum-dum, right? Right? And I understand people, it's natural to some people are just more self-confident, some not, for 1,001 reasons, yet nobody anywhere, you're not worse than Cheda Egel. And Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Anane Yakovot back, all they had to do was donate money to the Mishkan, accept their job as a soldier, right? Accept your mission. You got the Anane Yakovot back. Walk into the Sukkah. Your besimcha, because you use your machshava, and you have no doubts as to who and what you really are. You're really that angel with a godly neshama who did a lot of dumb, stupid things, but you work on them. You're human. That's our job. You got 120 years. You'll get there. That's my concept. Want to end with one very famous idea, which is not mine. Right? All the Bali Muslims say it. Oh, I just popped into my head. Oh, you want to hear another great word, which I just hopped fits, and I'm even going to say in the name of who, because this time I remember. Ne'ila. Famous question at the end of Ne'ila. What do we do? Shem Elokim, blow the shofar, shana ba, b'shalayim ha'benuya. And then what's the first thing we do? V'hu rachum, yechaper ravon, v'lo yeshis. God's all merciful and forgives all sins. What could you have done? Yom Kippur's been over for 3 seconds. What could you have done wrong already that you say V'rachum Yechaper Avon? So the Litvische Bali Musar say you were happy it was over. That's one approach, right? Reb Shlomo Karlbach Zatzal says, you know what the Vera is? You don't believe God really forgave you. It's over. But God didn't really forgive me, man. Like, those guys, me, I'm a lost cause. Nah, bam, v'rachum yechaper, that was your first sin. Is that great for it? Godless. Roy for the person who said it, if you knew him at all, right? He said, it is befitting, that idea, it befits Shlomo Karlbach, if you knew him at all, right? If you knew anything about it, right? Yeah, but we're not going to converse, he was good, okay, he was not okay. Let's, you know, post Yom Kippur, look at the good, right? That's his idea. Shame Umro. That's the idea. You got to believe that we were forgiven. That fits now into what I really want to tell you with the famous Musar Vort. There's a famous Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Pasuk says, Ma Yafu Pa'amayich Ban Alim Bat Nadiv. Ma Yafu, Yofi, beautiful. How beautiful is Pa'amayich, your steps, Ban Alim, in your shoes, Na'alayim. Bat Nadiv, the daughter of the prince, meaning Klal Yisrael. How beautiful are the steps you take while you're wearing shoes? So everybody wants to know, what do you mean how beautiful are the steps you take while wearing shoes? Like, then we always wear shoes? So, one approach is, it's referring to on your way up to being Ola Regel. Because when you get to the Beis HaMikdash, you got to take your shoes off. You can't walk around the Beis HaMikdash with shoes on. So, that's very beautiful, being in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash and the menorah and the karbanos and the kahanim, and it's inspiring. That's great. But you know what's more beautiful? The steps you take while you're wearing your shoes as you're traveling up there. And everyone's screaming and shouting, and the kids are nuts, and it's hot, and you're trying to get all your animals together, and it's a long way up, and the roads are jammed, and the traffic's horrific, as you're trying to make your way up from, I don't know, all the way down to Be'er Sheva somewhere, trying to get to Yerushalayim with thousands of other people, and like, you know what I mean? Everyone's freaking out, and you keep a smile on your face, saying, we're going to Yerushalayim, I'm not tired, traffic's not, We'll get there, Brookshire. Look at all the people being all the wriggle. But the cow is, I think they take down, take the animals, quiet them, give them some food. We'll be fine. We'll get there. Go back to the trailer, give them something to eat. Tell the animals we'll get there. It's a tough trip. It's a hard trip. But Mayafup, the steps you take with your shoes before you get to the base of Migdash is really almost more beautiful than the high you'll get in the base of Migdash. One approach. Another approach is, when else are shoes a big deal? After Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is beautiful, and you're standing, you know, you're in shul, and all you're doing is davening, and you're wearing white, and the beautiful chazan, and you're singing songs, and you know, and it's a Lashon Haba. That's great. But you know what's most beautiful? The steps you take once you put your shoes back on after Yom Kippur. And you go back to the real world, right? You don't have another Yom Kippur for another year, right? The steps you take when you put your shoes back on, right? All those things that you're going to try and work on, right? Putting a smile on your face, whatever you're working on, right? Put it into practice. Take your esrog, take your lulav, walk into a sukkah, look up, anani, a kavod. It's a miracle. I'm still here. Jewish people are still here. No matter what the dumbest things, unfortunately, Jewish people have done, and bad calls, right? We're still here. For us today, you know, in our lifetimes, it's such a different concept of we're still here, right? You know, and what someone said when they finished all the new roads through Shalim with all the tunnels, somebody found a pasuk that you'll come to Shalim to Ola Regal through tunnels or something. That's an ah, see, that's a mucker. That's why they built the tunnels. So we get to Ola Regal, the trains will get us to be Ola Regal, and right. I mean, certainly, you know, compared to not all that long ago for us people sitting here. Right? We really are zoche to see anani, a kavod. We're at our core, we're angels. At our core, the person who we have a hard time getting along with also have an elokai neshama. Also, he has a guy, he's also an angel. He has his issues. You got your issues. I got my issues. We all got our issues. Right? The steps we take now with that simcha, that joy, the joy that no matter what you do, you get the anani, a kavod back. The joy is no matter what you enumerated to the good Lord on your vidui, but you're an angel. You're a malach at your essence. And there's things you do that you just got to figure out how to work. Mirz Hashem, with that, we tackle will be zeicha, that we'll see the fulfillment of all the nevuahs that we read on Sukkot, and we really get, really, we'll literally get the anani covered back. And Mirz Hashem, by the time we have a pick-up class again after Sukkot, we'll all meet each other in the base of Migdash. We'll have brought our karbanos, but we'll still come back for class. Right, that's the Rambam. You know what I mean? And then we, you know, going to fight traffic and be late for class and have a cup of coffee. Have a wonderful Yontif, everybody. And Gemar Chatima Tova. And then after Sukkot, then we get back to the very difficult issues of the oral law and some very interesting sources.